Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. About Bernie Sanders. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders and his ideas about making tuition free at all state universities across the country. That is a very exciting idea. And in fact, one that we tried to realize actually 40-some years ago when I graduated from college in 1972. That would be 43 years ago. My gosh, I'm getting old. And I guess, gosh, no, is it? Yeah, I guess it is. Because it's 47 years ago since I graduated from high school. Wow. I'm getting old. But before we get to Bernie Sanders, I'd like to congratulate Rand Paul on his, I don't know whether to call it a filibuster, a speech, or whatever it's called. But he right now is speaking before the United States Senate to repeal the Patriot Act. And there are not very many ideas that I think should be repealed. Besides the college tuition idea, we're also going to be talking about inequality in America, and some reading that I have been doing lately. I am now actually in the process of reading Joseph Stiglitz's The Price of Inequality, and there are some startling statistics that appear in the book. And I'd like to talk about it again. Hey, guest 516, welcome to the Norman Knight Show. Glad to see you in the chat room. If you want to join into the live conversation and anybody else out there listening, the number is 347-945-6713. And guest 1522, you're welcome also to the Norman Knight Show. Again, I would like to have some live conversation with people, but I understand if you just want to click into the chat room and I will convey the conversation to the live channel. The number is 347-945-6713. The show's become pretty regular again, and I'm, well, everyone knows I'm very excited with the idea of Bernie Sanders running for president. If you've been at Norm Constantine's Facebook page, and please, I welcome you to go. I have been sharing all kinds of Bernie Sanders details. This country is in what I believe serious trouble. The world is in serious trouble. There's all kinds of things going on. And we have to take some action to rid it. One of the great levelers in any society is education. Higher education in particular. The idea that one of the ways out of the bottom classes in a society is to educate yourself. It's the way my family went from Italian immigrants, couldn't speak English, not a penny to their name, and how that family, against all odds, rose from the bottom up. People often like to make the, isn't this wonderful? We're the first person in my family to graduate from college. Every member in my family, except for my grandfather, Ottavio, has graduated from university, including, and I think this tells the story about the whole family, including my father's oldest sister, who was the firstborn in the family. In the Constantine family, or Costantini, as my cousin Gail likes to point out, the name morphed when we came here. A lot of different stories about it. It just doesn't really matter. It's Costantini's in Italy, and it's Constantine's in America. Anyway, college was the way out. Grandfather didn't want to be a sheep herder anymore. He got in the boat. He came to America. His five kids all graduated from college. His daughter and three of his sons were all MDs. We just put the last one in the ground, the last of that first generation of children. First generation Americans are now gone, and it's my generation and my first cousins who have placed it. The university made our world bigger and made all of us better at what we do. And in my generation, my cousins, I guess we'd be second generation Americans, both Constantines and Bobies. My father's sister Jessie indeed married Emil Bobby, and that gives us the Bobby branch of the family. But just to say what that education has done for us, the senior member of the level of first cousins, my cousin Kevin, is just turned 80 years old, and he still works every day. He's a pediatric pathologist. I just saw him in Providence. His brother, Emil, is still working every day. He's a lawyer. I'm still working every day. I'll be 65 in September, teaching school, trying to make a difference for other people. I went to college. I went to graduate school. I came out with no debt. In fact, I came out on the plus side with money in the bank for a lot of different reasons. But the biggest reason I chose to go to the state university, the State University College in Buffalo, New York, because it was practically free. The tuition in 1968 was $400 a semester. Not very much, but I even halved that by winning a Regents scholarship. You could pay for your education working part-time at the corner drugstore while you went to school. You could pay for your education working in the summer at a place like Bethlehem Steel where I worked, actually working in the wintertime, or a place like Bison Cheese, which was a cheese company in Buffalo where my brother worked. I can't remember where my sister worked. My cousins were able to create the money for their undergraduate educations, while my cousin Paul went to a state university, but he worked at a leather tannery in the summertime. But education was accessible because of what it cost. And it made it reasonable. Well, Bernie Sanders understands that idea. And he believes that we need to, if we're going to make the Americans competitive, American economy competitive with the world, we need people to be able to. We need people to be educated without this weight of debt strangling them to where they can't do anything anyway. And so we need to make undergraduate education as cost-effective as we possibly can at the state universities. And the way that Sanders wants to do this to be is to put a tax on non-productive activities that generate not wealth, but money. And he wants to tax the transactions that take place every day on the New York State Stock Exchange. And by his calculations, that's more than enough. So it isn't really a free education. It is education being paid for. Now, what are we going to pay for? Well, one of the interesting things that happens is that one of the reasons for the explosion of athletics at the, well, the state universities and the big fancy private universities outside of the Ivy League anyway, is the idea of we can give athletic scholarships. And that's how poor people can make their way through the university and pay these exorbitant tuitions and fees. Well, you know what? If there is no tuition at state universities, there's no reason for athletic scholarships because there is no cost. If people want, well, I don't want to go off on that tangent, but I've got all my lines open, 347-945-6713 is the number, and I really would like someone to call me. How about guest 1522? You know the number. I'm hoping my buddies from the West Coast will call in tonight. I missed them last week. Or I think it was the first show that he missed in a long time. Now, I've gone around and around on this subject with Facebook. I'll tell you that. I actually lost some of my objectivity on this subject. Yeah, like I'm objective, you're going to say. And I can see how you can do that, but a lot of people have engaged in name calling, and I found myself surrendering to it this morning on my Facebook page. In fact, my daughter even called me and told me that I need to tone myself down, and why do I get into it like I did? I get into it like I did because I believe that it benefits the entire society if people go to university. And it really, I don't understand why anybody could be opposed to this. I just don't understand it. Particularly as inequality grows in this country, and it's growing every single day. Hey, 1668, welcome to the Norm at Night Show. We're glad to have you here. We're talking about Bernie Sanders, and we're talking about his idea for free tuition at state universities across the country. The really interesting idea, hey, I got a caller coming on. Here we go, out to the West Coast. Hey, you're on Norm at Night. How are you this week?
Oh, not so bad. Sorry I missed you last week.
Yeah. But that's okay. This is this week. We're talking about free college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw some of your some of the memes you posted. And I think Bernie's got maybe a good idea, but a terrible way to fund it.
What is so terrible about non-productive wealth transactions that produce nothing be taxed to fund it? What is the matter with that?
Okay. Now, you're probably talking about high-frequency trading, things like that?
Yes.
Okay, because he doesn't say that.
Oh, no, he does say that.
I read a story just today, and it was 0.5% tax on all stock transactions. I think
exactly.
It was 0.1% on bonds. And
right.
They had one on derivatives and things of that sort, but they didn't. They said it was nominal. They didn't say what it was.
What is the matter with that?
Well, I'm looking at, for one, people like myself.
Let's get full disclosure here. As one who makes his living off the stock market, I can understand why I might have a different view. I'm sure you make a lot more trades than I ever do.
Well, you know, I don't trade like I used to, but nonetheless, I can see this costing me a good deal of money. And I feel no obligation whatsoever to pay for these kids to go to school for free.
Well, that's because I believe you're looking at it from a very, I think the word's myopic. I'm not sure that's the right word. But anyway, you're looking at it from a very narrow point of view. The value of what you're purchasing on that market will increase significantly as we increase the competitive base of the country.
No. That's so obscure. That's crazy. It's not. There's no connection.
There's
divorced from reality.
Connection between an educated workforce and a non-educated workforce.
Yeah, I know. I've met cab drivers with PhDs. I know. You know, the best cab ride I ever had in my life.
That's right, because educated people do whatever they do better than they would than somebody who's not educated.
Yeah. See, there's one thing I know about things and I'll just say things, but we'll just say money, okay? When you work for money, it means something. When someone gives you something for free, or you win a lottery, or hit a royal flush at a slot machine, it's different. You don't care about it. And
well,
part of the real problem we've got with these schools is the kids don't, you know, they get the loans, right? And they don't see themselves paying anything. And that you have this dropout rate that I think would certainly increase because they know there's no obligation. You can go or not go. It's not my money.
But it's your life. First of all, when I went to the State University of New York, it wasn't free, but it was free. It was $400 a year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now you would be lucky
My
to get
My daughter went to a state university. It was $17,000 a year.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you know, but, I mean, we know the cause is there. Again, it's government involvement. Hey.
Government involvement is not the cause or the
cause.
Oh,
yes, it is.
It's sports. It's the NBA, the NFL, dormitories that are like hotels.
A lot of those make money. The good teams, anyway.
They don't make money.
No, it's like this.
People borrow money.
Yeah. See, the bank is going to give me a loan. Why? Because it's going to have a government guarantee. Otherwise, they'll look at my parents and they'll look at me and say, do you really think you'll be capable of paying this off? We don't know. Obviously, there's $1.2 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. How much of that is getting paid off? I don't know.
Let me, you know, I don't want to, I'm not a personal horn blower very often,
but
I
you will.
But I'm going to play a tune here. Yes, I am. I came out of. When I came out of graduate school, I had zero debt. Zero.
Uh-huh. Same here. Well, I didn't go to graduate school, but I attended college
in
many places, and I paid for it myself or I worked for it, one or the other.
And
I didn't borrow a cent.
That's what I did, and that's what everybody I knew did. At the same, you could work at the Leader drugstore at Delavan and Bailey and literally pay your tuition.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well,
maybe a couple of Louis Texas Hots. Maybe a mighty
well,
taco.
You know, if we're going to extend childhood, well, to the age of 30 now, I guess, you know,
anyway,
I don't know what this.
I was not a child when I was in college. It did not.
Well, I'm talking about the current generation. Now, you know, it may not be affordable anymore, but, you know, working. See, this is the thing. You and I did not have a problem taking crappy jobs if we had to.
Right.
Yeah. And you and I didn't have a problem working full-time and going to school full-time. You and I didn't have a problem going into the military to take advantage of the education benefits.
That's true. And none of that's thrown away.
Yeah. Well, I knew all those things were there. It was just a matter of, it was going to require work and sacrifice, but I was quite willing to do that. But now, you don't want to do that. You just want to give it away.
I don't want, no.
Let's do this. All right. You go to now. They're only talking about the first 2 years, as far as I know. Or is he talking about the whole community?
He's actually has. It was originally going to be community colleges, and now the idea, as it gains momentum, is. What's the word I'm looking for? As it gains momentum, it's gone to the four-year institution. It's the way I understand it. I could be wrong.
Well, how about we do How about we do something like this? We pay for that year of college. You owe us a year's worth of free labor. Well, not free. We've already paid you for it.
No, you don't.
Why?
No.
I want them to work for it. That's all I want. I want it to mean something to them. And where you get off saying that people who work in Wall Street are not workers, or that it's just money flowing back and forth. Don't you think there are people who do extensive research and consider the risk they're taking?
No, I call them hustlers.
Well, you could call, I understand. There's plenty to criticize Wall Street for. I mean, you know, well before 2008. But, you know, when you live in an oligarchy, what are you going to do?
Well,
but I'll say this, that
we're going to try to change it. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing that this will do, the big problem, in my view, is the rate at which college costs have risen. If the state university becomes essentially like a public school, no charge, if you can get in, that will force the private institutions to reduce their cost in order to compete.
It's a possibility.
It's not a possibility.
But on the other hand, if you have a prestigious school with wealthy alumni, you know, they're going to come anyway.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, really?
And anyway, we're the only industrial country in the world that charges tuition in our public institutions.
Yeah, and, you know, and single taxpayers don't pay 40-45% either. So.
Maybe they should.
Oh, I wouldn't trust any more money with the government. Good God. 40% of every dollar is lost or stolen.
That's true. They spend it all in Iraq.
Yeah, well, we can call it that, or we can call it defense contracts. We can call it Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud, pension fraud.
It's not
welfare fraud.
It's not poor people that do that.
I guess they're not poor after they've been doing it for a year or so.
Yeah, I know all the poor doctors in the world. All the poor doctors.
Yeah. Well, we have a shortage of doctors. I wouldn't mind having a lot more people in the medical field.
They keep the price so damn high to become a doctor in order to keep the numbers lower. The AMA, I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's not because it's off topic.
Well, actually it isn't. I've always thought the government should open medical schools. You want the price of medicine to go down, produce more doctors.
Sure. Makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me, too. Market
I can support that.
Market forces always make sense, so it cuts into somebody's profit. Oh, I learned a new term today.
Oh, was that?
You know, this whole what Bernie Sanders is trying to do, and I don't know if this college thing will do it, but it's a beginning to remove the middle of where there's nothing in American society. There's a tiny bit of rich people and a ton of poor people. The idea of a middle class is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist.
Right. Well, I mean, we've got numerous causes here. It's hard to pinpoint one in particular. From phony trade treaties to, union busting or whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's just so much of it. The middle class, let's face it, they max out their credit cards and the story is
middle class people.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of those people thought they were middle class, but it turns out that they weren't.
Right, it's fiction foisted on them by that tiny percentage that controls everything.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, I don't have a real problem with higher income taxes. Now, they're already hitting what, if they're actually paying those amounts. And see, that's where the rub is, because we all know that the number of write-offs and the loopholes are extensive. I mean, there are some we've never heard of before, and they may only be designed for a handful of people. They may only be designed for one person. You know, the history of the 401k plan.
Yes.
It was designed for one guy. And other people saw it in the books and said, hey, we can do this, you know. And it grew from there.
Well,
now I understand what is the thing they want to do now. They want to somehow get rid of 401ks and then expand Social Security, which I think is a horrific idea. God.
Well, I don't really have any I think we should establish government pensions. Social Security is not a pension.
Well, it's pretty damn close, isn't it?
No, it's an insurance program.
Yeah, if it were an actual pension, they'd have investments and it would probably be more solvent.
They do have oh, my Lord.
I know, those stinking Treasury notes that they can't sell.
Well, they're still buying them like the Chinese can't buy enough of them.
Well, they do because...
And either can the rich Wall Street people.
They've got to have those things. That's their reserve. You know, we don't have that. We're the only country that doesn't have that problem.
Wait, you lost me someplace.
We're the fiat currency. We don't have to have a reserve. When
nobody
we need money, we print more.
The whole idea of your currency being based on anything but trust is ludicrous.
Yeah, but that's what it's based on.
It's based on trust, period.
Well,
money is always
they could be
trust.
Trading shiny rocks and seashells. I don't care as long as somebody thinks it's worth something.
As long as somebody will give you something for the shiny rock, absolutely.
That's exactly right. That's all
that's
it has
trust.
To do.
That's
it's a
trust.
Monetary unit, and that's all it is.
but it has no value in and of itself.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not like we can go back to gold or anything of that sort. That's out of the question. Despite what Ron Paul says, I take issue with him on that. You know.
And Rand, right? Actually, I want to give a shout out to Rand right now because he.
I caught some of it. Yeah.
He's talking about he wants to keep the Patriot Act from being renewed.
Yeah.
That's almost enough to get me to vote for him.
Yeah, well, what he has is an amendment.
You know what? If it was Ron Paul versus Hillary, I just might vote for him.
Oh, I think he's counting on that, you know. Yeah, what he's trying to do, he wants to amend, you know, he doesn't want to kill it completely, but he wants to amend it so that any domestic surveillance, you know, can't be misused. Because they've been using this stuff to the FBI and the Justice Department has been chasing criminals all over the place using NSA information, and it was never intended to do that.
No,
plus the mass collection of phone calls, again, you know, that's really not part of it. And then this whole process, you know, where, you know, we've got a team of secret judges and, you know, you got to get, you know, there's just so much about it that's wrong. But, I mean, there are some things they did. Let me think. I think in Texas they rounded up like about 100 parolee violators all on the same day or within the same weekend. And this was all derived from telephone records. Then there was a kiddie porn ring they busted, and they got like 400 people internationally. But again, the warrants all came through, you know, through FISA. So, you know, now there's no sympathy for the kiddie porn people, but, you know, still, you know, that's...
Well, it's a terrible thing to say, but there's a whole lot more of those people than anybody cares to admit.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I mean, you know, it's not something I've ever really learned about. I mean, I understand it's there, but to what extent, I really couldn't say. Now, I saw things in Amsterdam that they were sickening.
Geez.
I can only call it sickening. There was no other word for it.
No, they sickened you.
I'm not talking about live. I'm talking about magazines in windows and that type of stuff, you know, which I just thought was incredible, but.
I'm looking for this Turner. No. Hey, anybody else out there? You know, there's a bunch of people here in the chat room. Why don't you just give us a call at 347-945-6713 and join the live conversation. I understand if you just want to sit there and listen, and that's very cool. But you can also dial in, and if you don't want to talk, you can actually listen to the show over your telephone. We only got about 20 minutes left. And
yeah, I know you were, I think you had equality and inequality listed in your intro.
I don't know if I don't know how many listeners out there know who Joseph Stiglitz is, but he's a Nobel Prize winning economist.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a book called The Price of Inequality. And I actually got it I've started to read it today. And I've never heard this term before. And I'll be God blessed if I can find it now.
What is it again?
No, I looked it up.
How do you spell it? I'm not catching it.
R-E-N-T. It's rent something. And I've never heard this term before. But it's creating, it's increasing your wealth without creating anything.
Oh.
It's fake wealth. Mostly what Wall Street does. I can't, it's, I should have wrote it down.
Well,
it's a really, I mean, that's what Bernie Sanders is talking against.
Well, Bernie needs to be more specific then, because what I read has him targeting all investors, not just high frequency. In fact, I didn't see any mention of high frequency.
Well, it's not just what he's talking about. Investors used to buy and hold. That's how you got rich.
Well, that's only one strategy. That's fairly antiquated, too.
The strategy was you invested in things to get return on investment. Not to spend return. A stock's price going up.
Look, when California had its budget crisis here and their debt was downgraded, it was one of the best buys out there. I know that. So you were able to buy California debt. It was exempt from state and federal taxes. And it was paying the best return that you could find out of any, you know, it was still investment grade, but it paid a great return. And if you leveraged it through a closed-end fund, you were picking up 7, 8% tax-free. That was only a few years ago. I mean, good God. Well, a little longer than that, but still. So you're telling me that the person who does that is not doing any work, that he's just churning money or something.
Yes.
And this
absolutely
is where I disagree, because the person who's doing that is doing the research.
That's not work. That doesn't make
research
anything.
Isn't work. If research wasn't work, most of your college employees would be out of business, wouldn't they?
You don't make anything. The society as a whole doesn't get better because of that.
Well, that is all right. Well, look, the money comes out, and then where does the money go afterwards? Maybe Bill Gates gets it, and maybe he spends it somewhere. Or Warren Buffett. Or going back further, Henry Ford and Rockefeller. What do you think they did with their fortunes when they were done?
Left it to their heirs for the most part.
A whole lot of it went to causes that, let's say they had to keep under wraps. Henry Ford in particular funded many black colleges in the South, as did Rockefeller. So tell me how evil those guys were. I mean, you know.
I'll tell you how evil.
They weren't all bad.
You know, we built a few libraries. Oh, hot dog. You know, we founded a university. It was the Mellon family in Pittsburgh that nobody who worked in the steel plants could ever have afforded to go to.
Until
those steel plants were unionized, the number of workers who died every day in them, nobody talks about that.
Well, I will say, yeah, that it took quite a while for safety and, you know, for regulations and safety requirements to take effect.
Well,
now,
and
some,
the unions are all being smashed.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean that these things don't keep happening, that the employers don't continue to take care of their companies or their employees.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Oh, I know, they're
wrong.
All heartless octopi that, you know, with their tentacles around everybody's throat. Yeah, I know.
That's right, they are. And it's about time we said it.
See, you're never going to have an objective view of anything with this hard on you've got for corporations.
Exploitation's my Viagra.
Yeah, well, this is a thing. You know, the world is not going to be socialist at any time. The great experiments in socialism have all been massive failures that resulted in Holocaust after Holocaust, with millions of people being slaughtered by these benevolent socialist dictators.
Capitalism has slaughtered more people in its history than they can even think about.
I'm looking at China. I'm looking at Russia.
China is solving its great social problems.
Yeah, but what did they do prior to that?
So would it have been better for the Chinese?
That was just one step on the ladder, right? Yeah.
Would the Chinese, would it be better off for them to be continued to be exploited by the British Empire?
Well, they're doing better now since they've embraced capitalism.
Would China be better so that England could have tea if they turned half the population of China into heroin addicts?
Well, let's put it this way. Well, they got rid of the Brits. They got rid of the Brits, and then they tried to govern themselves. Then the Japanese got involved. And you had another mass slaughter of people. Then we got Mao Zedong, and we had an even bigger slaughter of people. You know, the best times they've ever had in their existence are right now. And the reason is they've embraced trade and capitalism.
No, no, no.
Yes, yes.
No, and in fact, the statistics, it's easier to rise from the bottom of Chinese society than it is from the bottom of American society to the top. There is almost
it's a new economy, and there's plenty of room for growth. We're an old economy. I mean, we've got some sparks here and there, but we don't have the manufacturing base anymore. That's gone. And we're rapidly getting rid of the agricultural base, which is going to be a real problem in the future. I mean, all we're producing is what? Corn, wheat, and soybeans. Now, we've got specialty crops, yes. But we're going to have one set of beans and two grains, and everything we eat is going to be molded out of this crap. Soylent Green, right?
We produce enough food to feed the whole world.
Well, we could.
We do.
We didn't burn it up for ethanol and who knows what else.
Now the Brazilians do that.
Yeah, well, they can make plenty of ethanol, but they don't have anywhere to sell it.
They use it domestically. They don't try
well,
to sell
nice.
It.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
They don't use oil.
Yeah, well, I've seen what's going on there in Petrobras. Good God. There's some huge scandals going on there. That is one country I would not touch for any type of investment. Not until they clean up their act.
You're talking about Brazil.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Venezuela?
Oh, well, that's a disaster. There isn't a company in the world that'll spend a dime over there anymore.
Well,
they have oil, they have gold, they have all kinds of things that could be developed. Nobody'll touch it.
Okay, as Stiglitz says here, the fact that the United States has the least progressive tax system and the most inequality in market incomes may not be an accident. It shows up systematically in the data on average. Countries with less progressive taxation have more inequality. This could be partly because societies with more economic inequality tend to have more political inequality, especially when it reaches the outsized levels found in the United States.
I can agree with that more, you know. Once the establishment of the corporate government marriage occurred, you know, which was a gradual process, but it's full blown now. There's barely even any point in voting anymore, and people know this, you know. And look at the candidates you're being offered. Family dynasties, Bushes, Clintons.
Okay. Stiglitz also says, I love Joey. I love Joey. He said, or Joseph, I should not be flippant with him. I explain how much of inequality is, this is from the preface.
Mm.
In chapter 2, I explain how much of the inequality, especially at the top, is related to rent seeking. I'd never heard this term before.
Okay,
rent seeking is, on average, destructive because the rent seekers gain for themselves less than they take away from others. So evident in the destruction wrought by the rent seekers in the financial sector. The more those gains are taxed, the fewer the resources that get devoted to rent seeking, and the more the efforts that get devoted to activities that may not pay as well, but that increase the size of the nation's income. Now, after I read that, I said, what is this rent seeking? I don't really know. So,
yeah. Sounds like one of those words he put together for his own use.
Google, and I said, rent seeking. What in the world is rent seeking? And, of course, my Google, again, full disclosure, I'm in love with Wikipedia. In rent seeking, quote, in economics and public choice theory, rent seeking is expending resources on political activity to increase one's share of existing wealth without creating wealth. The efforts of rent seekers are reduced economic efficiency through poor allocation of resources, reduced wealth creation, lost government revenue, increased income equality, and national decline. Current studies of rent seeking focus on the manipulation of regulatory agencies to gain monopolistic advantage in the market while imposing disadvantages on competitors. Welcome to the American oil industry.
The term
itself derives, however, from the practice of gaining a portion of production through the ownership or control of natural resources and locations, what every good libertarian is against, because natural resources and national land belongs to everybody, and everybody should share in the wealth produced from it. That's good libertarianism.
Well, yeah, I'm not so keen on the government selling, selling mineral rights and all the rest of it, water. For the most part, they get terrible prices, and it does seem to be manipulated. What little gold production we have left here, all that was sold. It was mostly Europeans and Canadians who bought it all. They probably control more in Nevada than the Americans.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'm glad all you folks are out there in the chat room, because that promises that maybe some of you will call in next week rather than just listen to this West Coast, East Coast battle. And I don't know if you're out there, the person who called me a jackass and all kinds of other names on Facebook. Did you see my latest?
I saw something in there with a guy, I won't mention his name, but it was similar to mine. But it wasn't me. That conversation kind of, drifted to the ad hominem really quick.
I feel bad about that, because I gave up some of the high ground, and now I'm going to have to work real hard to gain it back. But that's okay. Today I was given a lecture on how everything I had is due to white privilege. So.
Oh, I got into one over the weekend about the Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill, and there were memes that said, Andrew Jackson was just a slave owner, whereas Harriet Tubman was a slave liberator.
Actually,
I had to give them a little history lesson about Andrew Jackson. So Andrew Jackson was a little bit more than just a slave owner,
I don't think he was. I don't think he was a slave owner.
He inherited a plantation, which eventually became the Hermitage. And he retired there. He spent very little time at the place. So I don't know that he even knew what was going on there.
He was a general in the army.
Well, yeah. I mean, he won the Battle of New Orleans, which pretty much ended 1812 war. Then he invaded Florida and more or less took that. The Spanish signed it off to us. I mean, the guy did some pretty amazing stuff.
And he did some pretty...
Him and his supporters are the original founders of the Democratic Party. We know this.
No, I knew that, absolutely. Do you know that the Republican Party was founded in Buffalo, New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, plenty more.
Sorry, I take that back. Before everybody starts calling me, Andrew Jackson was a slaveholder.
Slavery
was the basis of his wealth. But we only got about 45 seconds left. I really thank you for coming, because this really perks me up. We had a great discussion. That dealt with facts and not personal slurs, and I really do appreciate that.
I don't think we did that even when we were drinking it, on Elmwood and all that. I mean, we had our discussions, but
absolutely.
From far left to far right, but
But anyway,
but it always stayed. It stayed at a level that was hospitable.
It stayed at the level of ideas.
Yeah.
We didn't start killing each other. But that's all for this week. Thanks for coming to Norm at Night. We'll be back with another plank of the Sanders campaign next Wednesday, 7 o'clock. It was really fun. I'll see you then, Kyle.
Okay, take care, Norm.
All right, bye-bye. Bye to everybody in the chat room. We'll see you.